stay overnight at his house, what does that tell you? I'm gonna be 63, so.
God sent his son.
Amen.
They called him Jesus. He came to love, heal and forgive, keep well and die.
Church, so today, because it's a little bit cool, you can snuggle up to the person next to you and get warm. It's perfectly acceptable, so especially today. Let's see. This Wednesday is Ash Wednesday, so Lent is starting. We aren't having anything special here at the church, but just keep it in mind. Know that Lent is starting and in preparation for Easter. All of the announcements as far as our Easter services, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, and all of that is in your bulletin. Just a reminder about our two Bible studies, Sunday morning at 9 and Wednesday evening starting at 6:30 with prayer. Thursday is our choir practice night from 6:30 to 8. There are cards on the back table. along with a pen. We'd like you to sign them. These are for Alexis. Alexis is the young lady who sits in the last row with me usually, and she, well, she has an infection. She is scheduled to have her appendix out, but they are unable to do it until the infection clears up, from what I understand. She's been in the hospital at Bay State most of this week, all this week, I guess, pretty much. She's supposed to come home today, but we would like to send her some cards from the church people. So, you know, if you could sign some of those cards, they're all adorable, made by Karen. So if you see how cute those cards are, come to our card making class. What else? Jaylin has the flu, so we'd like, well, that's prayers anyway. Any other announcements?
Judy?
Yes.
I want to let people know that we're planning the next Strawberry Music Commissions Festival for June 11th.
June
11th. So please
try the date.
Save the date. Yeah.
Okay. And it will be warm.
Yeah. We have another pie contest?
Yes.
So I can enter and lose yet again, right?
Start practicing.
Follow it again.
22-7.
Okay. For prayer requests, I just want to mention that Jaylin has the flu, so keep her in prayer. My sister Alice is also in Bay State Hospital. She has something going on with her kidney. They're not sure if it's kidney stones or kidney something or other, but she's been having lots of tests done, and so prayers for her and her husband as they figure out what's going on with her. Her name's Alice. Prayers for Bob and Judy, Alma and Charlie, and everyone else who are caregivers for people with issues, physical issues. Baby Luke, all our grandchildren, great-grandchildren that need healing, and the doctors and nurses that treat them. We've been praying for Mandy Hudson, who is a friend of Barbara's daughter, and she passed away this week. She was only 25 years old, had ALS, very rapid onset. So prayers for her family as they deal with that. Karen has a tooth infection, but hopefully she has an appointment tomorrow, and hopefully that will be taken care of then. So prayers for that, and if they have to pull it, prayers that that goes smoothly. Roger Kerboy, the Reverend Bob Wellner, Karen's friend Dee and her husband as they battle cancer, and Priscilla Varney, who's Alma's sister, and Alma's sister, Priscilla, her son, who was only 67, passed away quickly this week from a heart attack, and very unexpectedly. So prayers for her. Priscilla's husband is still alive, right, you said? Yes, so prayers for him as he deals with his death, the death of his son. Charlie.
Yes, could we all pray for the families of little Kaylee, a six-year-old girl who was playing out in her yard, and a tree limb came crashing down from about 30 feet up and killed her. And then following that, a father of three, a gentleman named Gunning, was cleaning up a hockey rink for his kids. He has three kids, and a tree also fell from 48 feet and struck him, and he died. And they all lived in Canton, Mass. So please pray for that community and the families, because it's just devastating. Talk about, but boast not thyself in tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen the next day.
That's
it's
for sure.
It's incredible.
For sure. Yes, Rich, sorry.
I want to thank her for sending the cards to my brother, who had his leg removed from surgery. He's doing fantastic. And also prayers for my sister, who lost her husband on those.
Karen?
A friend of mine has a church, she's a pastor of a church in Maine, and a young mother just lost a set of friends. So she asked if we would pray for her.
Okay. Faith?
Prayers for George Batson still, because he is in hospice. Prayers for Bonnie Emerson, who is waiting to go home to be with God. and prayers for the Lupien family and victims of that.
They did.
Yeah.
It's always something to pray for, so there's never a shortage on that. So just keep those in mind when we pray. I guess we can stand for the call to worship.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Faith in God. So we're getting into the Lent season. And I'm going to read some excerpts from the emails from baby Luke. Laurel, about two years ago, she started introducing us to baby Luke. And I want to read some of these parts because they touched my heart. Hopefully they'll touch yours. The leukemia was spreading fast. I am grateful to God and Sarah for finding the MASH, it reads. We're also so thankful that the tumor cells are dead. She reads, Luke is in remission. God's grace is providing blindness with eyes to see. My heart is overfilled and so thankful to God. My own logic and reason is of no value. It all depends and relies on Him. I cannot explain it, but my faith has moved past my own understanding. Thank you, God, for being all that you are. The next one is, Luke is in remission. The doctors are amazed. Too often in today's world, God is skipped over and left unmentioned. Well, I am certainly thankful to Him. It is with great news that we hear today that we will move to 6 West for the transplant. I have a powerful battle raging in my head and must guard myself with this terrible anxiety. A second bone marrow transplant along with a full body radiation condition is almost paralyzing to think about. And how I want to spare Luke from this, but we cannot go against medical advice. We have to use the means and follow the paths that are set before us. God is with Luke, no matter what happens tomorrow. And I have begged God for another way, but my faith needs to be stronger than my fear. To act or lack thereof because of fear would be wrong. Trust and faith is my only strength. May God's glory break every chain that binds us. We moved to 6 West at 7:30 p.m. today. So blessed and grateful to God for getting us here. Reduced levels of radiation by 12%. There is more to this story, but I need to get going. All I can say is thank you, God. God has been faithful to His promise. He is with us.
Amen.
How in the world do you ever get through something like this? And now these people are doing it a second time.
How do you live the Christian life without Christ?
Faith in God is that answer right there.
Yeah.
Faith in the God that is in charge of every aspect of each and every one of our lives. Faith in the God that loves that little boy as much as those parents do. Faith that they are in the will of God. Faith that God guides the doctors and the nurses and the technicians that are part of baby Luke's care. Faith that God will never allow any of us to go beyond what we can handle. Faith that God will always be there for that little baby and for them. How do you get that kind of faith? Faith that can move mountains. Faith that can heal the sick. Faith that can mend broken hearts. We ask for it. That's how we get it. We seek that kind of faith. We come to church. We study God's word. We surround ourselves with other Christians that teach us. We listen to good preachers. We listen to Christian music. And the most important thing that we can ever do to obtain that kind of faith is we develop a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have a good, strong prayer life. This family has inspired me to seek God. Their faith is so strong. Their love radiates from the words. Their words in these emails are God-inspired. And they are for me and you. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance to read some of these emails, read them. It's unbelievable how inspiring they are. Could we go to the call of worship, 201, as we read this? I'll read the light parts, please read the dark parts. The Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are those who mourn,
for they will be comforted.
Blessed are the meek,
for they will inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness,
for they will be filled.
Blessed are the merciful,
for they will be shown mercy.
Blessed are the pure in heart,
for they will see God.
Blessed are the peacemakers,
for they will be called sons of God.
Blessed are those who persecute because of righteousness,
for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me.
Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Amen. Let's open up a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank you that you gathered us here together this morning, Lord. Pray for our dear pastor, Lord, that you watch over him, and him and Elaine have a wonderful day today, Lord, as they have their little grandson baptized, Lord. We thank you for this little church, Lord. We thank you that the heat's back on, Lord. Most of all, we thank you for the faith that you give us, Lord, as we follow you, Lord, day by day, Lord. You bless us so much, Lord. You bless us with the most wonderful prayer of all, Lord. I pray that you join me as we recite that this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Sorry to make you stand so long, but it's cold, so it'll be good for you. Okay, can we sing 723, Revive Us Again?
Amen.
Revive us again.
all may be seated. Phyllis, thank you for the hat. My wife gave me a haircut last night and my head was cold. Said, oh man, yeah. I know we're not going to get a hat. Phyllis has got one.
Did you take a Nazarite vow?
Yes, I did. This morning, Charlotte, this morning. It's time for our tithes and offerings. Our little church does a lot of good things. You know, Joanne already said this morning, she said, we're preparing for our strawberry festival. You know, we're working on, I think it's May. May is our next community dinner. You know, there's a lot going on in here. It really is, you know. And in between there, Alma told me that there's a St. Patrick's Day dinner is in March. So that'll be the next dinner that we have. You know, a lot of things that are going on in this little church of ours. But we need God's help. We need funds. And that's why we have these little offerings, Lord. And we just pray when we collect this that you give it with a willing heart, Lord. That you give it with a joyful heart, Lord. And it goes out. You expand these gifts tenfold, Lord. Offers, please, Lord. Thank you.
Jesus.
us, Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us, Lord. I thank you for each and every person that contributed to our offerings this morning, Lord. I pray that you use them to go out and make a difference in this dark world, Lord. May you, times and 10 times, Lord, let them do mighty work, Lord. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You may be seated.
Amen.
Mrs. Kibbe?
That's Hannah.
Oh, she couldn't come up here to sing, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Bring your baby.
Look at you. You're all sparkly on your hands and on your
polka dot.
Oh, with sparkling polka dots, though. Yeah. And the hearts. Sparkles there. Woohoo. I love wearing sparkles. I have sparkles on my jewelry. When I'm feeling really jazzy or if I really want to dress up and look really good, I add lots of sparkles to mine. Do you do that, too?
Like a little bit.
A little bit? Do you like to wear sparkly jewelry too? When you feel you want to try on some? No? No? Okay. And I have my sparkly necklace. I chose this because I'm feeling really good today. When I'm feeling good, I like to put on sparkly stuff. And I like to get dressed up. But you know what? On Wednesday, we're going to celebrate a day called Ash Wednesday. Have you ever heard of that? Ash Wednesday is the day that a long, long time ago, people used to do this thing. They would put ashes on their head. That sounds kind of funny, huh? And they would do it if they were feeling really bad. If they felt like, oh, I've just been such a bad person, I've been so naughty, I'm going to show everybody that I'm really sorry. So they would take some ashes that were really cold, and they would put them on their hands, and they put them on their head and their face. I know, that sounds so silly to us, huh? If I were feeling sad, I just wouldn't be wearing all my extra jazzy bracelets and stuff. I might just wear an old, comfortable pair of ripped pants or something like that, right?
Yeah.
People did it different then. But now, some churches, you go to the church on Ash Wednesday, and they put a tiny bit of ashes on their finger, and they put it on your head. Does everybody know? Well, they know now. Yeah, that's great. I wonder if Mom didn't make that announcement.
No, I'm the one that wanted a baby brother or a sister. If it's a sister, we can name her. If it's a boy, we're not very sure yet.
Oh, but you're going to celebrate. You're wearing sparkles, right? You're having. That's because you have great news. And when we feel sad, we don't always sparkle so much, right?
My socks are not really sparkly.
Oh. I don't think mine are either, but I do have polka dots. So, when you see people that maybe have a little bit of ashes on their forehead this week, you're gonna, you know what that's going to be about? You're going to say, oh, you went to church. Because you are thinking, I better let people know I'm sorry for the bad things I did, right? That's what they're doing.
I don't put ashes on my head when I be bad.
No, because that's something we used to do a long time ago, and some grown-ups do it in some churches, but not everybody. We don't do it here, but I just wanted you to know in case you saw somebody like that this week, okay? So we pray. Jesus, thank you for giving Hannah's mom a baby. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help us to be happy about all the good things, help us to be sad when we've done bad things, and to want to do things the right way so that we feel happy all the time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Karen.
You please rise and we sing Holy, Holy, Holy. One of my favorite songs.
Amen.
And all the verses too.
Thank you.
Ezekiel, the chapter 36, verse 26. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh.
Amen.
This has been a reading of our Lord's holy word.
Thank you, Jeannie.
You're welcome.
I'm truly blessed to be able to stand up here this morning.
Amen.
Let's start with a word of prayer. Dearest Father God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth are your words, Lord. That you let them touch each and every person in this room, Lord. That your holy word lays on our heart, Lord, the wonders of your love. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.
Renewing your heart. We're about to start Lent in a couple days. I looked up in my trusty World Book Encyclopedia. We're all probably old enough, except for a few, to know what an encyclopedia is. We just Google it now, I think, you know. Lent is a religious season observed in the spring of the year by Christian churches. The word Lent comes from the old English word Lenten, which meant springtime. Lent is observed by the Roman Catholic Church, the Anglican Church, the Eastern Orthodox, Protestant, and Episcopal Church, and many others. It is a time of fasting, performing presence, abstaining from amusement. The season and its origin are a spiritual preparation for Easter, in the remembrance of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It also symbolizes the mourning of the church, the bride, for the departure of Christ, the bridegroom. Because of what he did on the cross, Jesus died on that lonely cross as payment for our sins. And through that, we have life. Because Jesus rose from the dead, we too will rise and enjoy heaven forever.
Amen.
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 There are main principles of our Lenten season to remember how blessed we are to know Christ personally and how we should strive to know him better each and every day.
Amen.
Number one, the Lenten season is a time of preparation, a time to set aside for examination, instruction, repentance, and prayer. I'd like to go to Galatians 6, 3 and 5. I have all my little sparkly pink things for Hannah. My Bible. So hopefully I'll move right along. Galatians 6, 3 and 5 reads, "For if a man knows himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove to his own, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Look at yourself. How are you walking with the Lord? Number two, the Lenten season is a time of penance and discipline. An individual responds to the call for a purposeful reflection on one's own need for God. Take away some of your fun stuff, one of your fun activities. Strip them away. Strip away the things that clutter your life and impede you from being in a meaningful relationship with God every day. A time for all of us to experience and reflect on the suffering of Christ, and in light of our personal sin and our shortcoming. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2.
Mm-hmm.
It reads, "Therefore, we are also compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2. "Looking into Jesus, the authority and finisher of our faith, for with the joy that is set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God."
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Lenten season is time for special prayer. Spend that extra time, that deep spirit-filled time, seeking God and His peace, His direction in your life, and His joy. I remember I was in Calcutta one time at the seminary, and I was thinking about this this morning. These girls would have this prayer closet, you know, and they're all young, and they go into this little room, you know, kind of like this little area here. It was dark. And I asked one of them, I says, you know, why do you have to go into such a dark room? It's kind of, she says, you know, I just need that time to really be able to focus. And they would do this every single day for 10, 20 minutes, half hour. Every one of them. There's probably 60, 80 people in this, you know, in this college. So we need that special, special time. They did that on an everyday basis. We need to try to do it for the next 40 days. We go to 2 Chronicles 7:14. For my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Number four, the Lenten season can be a time of spiritual renewal and growth. As Christ fasted and prayed in the desert for 40 days, we need to be mindful of Christ for the standards by which we live our lives, with a goal of self-giving and love towards others. We may all fall short of this, but through these actions, along with deep prayer, meditation, and the full action, we are on the path of being Christ-like. That time is invaluable. We go to Luke chapter 9, verse 23. It reads, "And he said to them all, if any man come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Number five, the Lenten season is a time to share with others the hope that we have found in a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Someday it just feels like it's just hopeless out there. A snowstorm made me feel like that. One bad thing after another. One battle I won, two more I gotta fight. One terrible thing in the news passes, and two more pop up. It just never goes away. One ache of mine, one shoulder ache goes away, and now my leg hurts, my knee hurts. You know, it's like, wow, you know? But we have that hope found in Jesus Christ. We have that blessed assurance. We do have a mansion over the hilltop.
Amen. Just over the hilltop.
We have that promise of meeting our Lord and loved ones on that beautiful shore.
Amen.
We have it in our hearts, and our world today needs it more than ever. And it's getting worse. I pray that we work on sharing that gift every day. The sermon today, starting now, is really about renewing your heart. A process that takes time, takes effort, it takes commitment, takes sacrifice, and takes work. The Lenten season is the perfect time to start that new you. In our scripture this morning, Ezekiel 36:26 that Jeannie read. I don't have to read it again. Last night I was reading in my computer. I was cheating. I read a sermon from Reverend Charles Spurgeon, dated September 5th, 1858. Behold the Wonderful Divine Love. It was a long sermon. It was like huge. It was, wow. He talks about people. for the conviction of the ungodly and for the humbling of our carnal pride. He asked that the Holy Spirit teach us of our depravity, that we will seek God and be saved. He goes into this comparison about an old house, rundown old house, not just a little rundown, it's in bad shape. No fix a few shingles or the door or a couple windows, this place is in bad shape. He talks about how rotten it was from the foundation all the way to the ridge beam. All the frame's been eaten up by bugs. He goes into detail about this. There's no soundness in the structure, he says. It is rotten and ready to fall. So God makes the decision not to do anything about it, not to try to fix it. He does not shore up the wall. He doesn't just paint the door and say, that's good enough. He has made a decision that it is just too far gone, and it must be swept away, and God is going to build a new house in place of that old house. So here is where Spurgeon relates it to mankind, about how we are broken. Our hearts are faint, our heads are sick, from the soles of our feet to the crown of our head. The Lord does not make an attempt to repair you and me, but he says, which says in the text, but I will give you a new heart, a right spirit, will I put within you. I will take away the heart of stone. I will not try to soften it. I will let it be strong as ever it was, but I will still take it away, and I will give you that new heart. Mm. And it shall be a heart of flesh, a new heart. Mm. He goes on to talk about how God is justified in doing what he plans to do. How if we look at human nature, past and present, think about it a little bit, how we treat each other, how we act, we do have our problems as people. Mm-hmm. Then, how we treat God, one of the most terrible things. God gave us life, every one of us. Mm-hmm. He created the heavens, the earth, and everything else. Mm-hmm. He breathed life into everything that is alive today. Sometimes we forget that. We overlook his love. Sometimes, maybe, every once in a while, we should take this time and say, thank you, Lord. Now and then, those words should come out of our lips. Mm-hmm. He is our devoted Father. He is our gracious benefactor. He is the most wonderful thing that's ever happened to us. Do you ever think about his kindness? This last week, he fixed Gail's car.
Amen.
He did. That electrical problem one day. And I knew he was going to fix it because it was some weird computer thing. We're coming home from the movies. I said, God's going to fix this. And you know what? He did. He watches us over us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. 365 days a year, God is with us all the time.
Emmanuel.
How he never leaves us in our good times and our bad times. Spurgeon goes on and on and on and on. But I'm going to stop here with part of his sermon. It's an incredible work of preaching from God's word. What I'm really trying to tell you on this beautiful spring day, maybe, is that God is willing to give you that new heart to change us from our old selfish self, and to break away that heart of stone and to make us new. We really don't deserve it, but he is still willing to do it for us. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put in you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Your salvation is free, you know. Jesus gave you that gift on Calvary. But to develop a deeper relationship with God is hard work. Mm-hmm. You have to drive 70 miles to come to church. You have to go out on every Wednesday night and go to Bible study. You have to give away some of our God, worldly things, and want to spend more time with God. It takes work, because we're all about fun and stuff. As we go into this Lenten season, let us work on that. We have 40 days starting this Wednesday. Let us try to draw closer to God. Because at the end of that 40 days, it's the most incredible thing that's ever happened to the world. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, comes back to life.
Amen.
The faith that I talked about this morning from Laurel's emails and stuff. You want that kind of faith? You want the kind of faith that those parents have? You have to work for it.
Yeah.
You have to spend time. You have to ask God for it. Thank you.
Amen.
All right, Mr. Kip. You're going into community call to worship. Sevens, please rise. 776. Deacon's fund offering. The deacons do great work. We're kind of short-handed. Terry ran off someplace. And so we have our good, at least we have a couple. They go out, they do great work. They really do. They spread the good news. They try to bless people all the time. They counsel them. They just do mighty things. So at this time, I'd like to take the deacon's fund offering. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of these funds, Lord. Pray that you bless each and every person that contributed, Lord. Pray that you use these gifts mightily, Lord, to make a difference in this world of ours. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
At this time, I would like to read to me the church covenant on the back page of your book. Can we stand for this, Jane? Could you please stand? Reading in unison.
Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God, to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and on profession of our faith, having been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we do now, in the presence of God and this assembly, most solemnly and joyfully enter into this covenant with one another as one body in Christ. We engage, therefore, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, to walk together in Christian love, to strive for the advancement of this church in knowledge, holiness, and comfort, to sustain its worship, and promise to attend public worship faithfully, and promise to engage in whatever church work we are able to do. We will promote its prosperity and spirituality, contribute cheerfully and regularly to the support of its ministry, the relief of the poor, and the spread of the gospel through all ages. We also pledge to maintain family and private devotions, the religious education of our children in the Christian faith, and will endeavor sincerely and earnestly to live as Christ taught his followers to live. When we leave this community, we will, as soon as possible, unite with some other church where we can carry out the spirit of this covenant and the principles of God's word.
Amen. You may be seated. I was talking to Pastor Gary a couple days ago, and this morning I want to do something different. We used to do this, I think, in Holland Church. I want to just take a couple of minutes for everyone to close their eyes and to try to get a pure heart before the Lord, before we go and take the body and blood of our risen Savior. Take that little bit of time to ask him. Maybe there's some funny sin that really, really think was too important. But maybe we should confess it at this time. Let's just take a couple minutes. Dearest Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you're willing to forgive us over and over and over again, Lord. We thank you for blessing us. Amen. Amen. On the first day of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparation for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent his two disciples, telling them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparation for us there." The disciples left and went into the city and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table eating, he said, "I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They were saddened. One by one, they said to him, "Surely not I." "It is one of the 12," he replied, "one who dips bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him, but woe unto the man that betrays the Son of Man, for it is better for him if he had not been born." While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples. Take it, this is my body." Please join me in this. Genie. You're right. This is the symbol of our risen Savior. Take, eat, be thankful. Then he took the cup, he gave thanks, and offered it to them, they that all that drank from it. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, he said to them. I tell you the truth, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink anew in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Blood of the Lord. Risen Savior, take and be thankful. Amen. When they had sung a hymn, they went out. Okay. Please rise and we sing number 20. The deacons will go out and pray. Jeannie, take your hand.
Yep.
And your new brother.
Oh, thank you for this wonderful little church, Lord. Beautiful sunshine that shines through the windows, Lord. Let us grow up today, Lord, and let your love shine through us, Lord, as we make a difference in this world we live in. Pray that you use us, Lord. Let us make us into a mighty army for you, Lord. I pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Amen.